what do you think about the rally scoring situation and the side out scoring?
I like going to side out, to be honest. You just lose important aspects of strategy, which I get. You can kind of try to differentiate it by being, you know, it's a different format. You want to have different scoring. I just think it... I'll be curious, right? Like, there's plenty of data now on rally versus side out. So, you know, and I'm sure people will be looking at what the data is after this upcoming season of side out scoring versus what it was in the past with rally. I just like side out scoring better. I think, you know, figuring out how to figuring stacks, switches, it's all part and like really important parts of the game that I think you lose on rally. So, and I think the data says otherwise, but to me, it does feel like there's more variability and variance and results with rally.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Quite a lovely voice.
Ripperooski.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Yes.
I mean, you have to rip it. You gotta pull the ripperooski.
You gotta commit. You gotta full commit. Mm-hmm. Fully committed on that.
Yeah. Light them up, baby.
Light
Rob, well,
up.
We're never lacking for storylines in the pickleball community, and we have several more today. Lots of action, lots of MLP news, a couple trades.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the new rules and new format situation going on, and it's going to be a glorious season, I think so.
Let's discuss. What do we have? What do we have that's changed?
Well, a lot. So first, let's go through. We can touch on the trades here in a little bit. We have Premier going from rally scoring to standard scoring for the doubles portion of Major League Pickleball. The Dream Breaker will still be a rally scoring format, and we have gone from 4 to 6 players per roster. So with the added 4 challenger teams into Premier, we have gone from 48 to 96 players.
Yes, we have. And a caveat there is you must be a UPA signed player now. I believe I saw that too, right? So that that's going to make it a bit more thin unless some people sign.
Yeah, and it's because there's – I mean, the talent pool just changes so drastically. So there's definitely – you know, you have to have your little tentacles out in these little pockets of practice groups, and up and comers can just pop on the scene so quick and go from like a 5-0-ish type player to someone who has legit potential in the game of pro pickleball. Yeah. So needing to be signed and having that be part of the deal definitely affects the player pool. And it could possibly affect the decisions of some of the teams. So that is a big factor. Yeah. Challenger last year, Rob, I mean, the teams that added, you know, the Yana Newells, the Megan Fudges of the world, and so on. There was a couple others, Bobby Oshiro. Those teams had a good bit of success, especially with, you know, that thin player pool, more on the women's side than the men's side at the bottom. So to get those ladies was a huge factor. And now that is not going to be an option to grab somebody after the season begins.
Do we know if there are any I saw a couple signings of Australians, but nothing in terms of like current or not current, but like MLP players from last year that weren't signed or any now signed?
That's a good question. I have the updated player pool right here. I'm not just going to scan through it in the middle of this, but I think it's Tom Evans, the Australian guy. There's a handful of names kind of thrown in there. There's only a couple names that I wasn't fully familiar with, but I think between now and when the premier draft is, which is not too far away, around a week or two or something along those lines.
So what's happening? We're doing a draft on. So what's the situation for teams right now? Everybody had to drop one or two or something.
Just one.
Or no.
Just one. Yeah. So you can just one, and some teams were. They were handcuffed into who they could keep because it was an addition during the year, like a Kwang Duong situation, not able to be kept. So what you want to do as a league, it's the same thing in fantasy sports, is you want to have some amount of waiver wire pool. So that's what the rule allowed for. So you can't just hold pat with your team. You have to have some form of waiver wire pool. And a lot of those higher priced paid players, you have to pay the league half of their salary, whatever those draft bonus points were. So let's say, for instance, a Riley Newman who went around the $500,000 mark, you have to pay $250,000 to keep him. So there not only will be – there will be some teams that will be dropping beyond that one player to make the waiver wire a little thicker, so that some teams that really like their two or three players that they are keeping will have some amount of value they can gain from there and can compete this year.
Got it. So the draft's just the remaining players in the player pool, and they're having to round it out at six each per team. Is it?
That's right.
What is the draft? What's the draft format?
You must stay balanced with 3-3. So you can't do like a weird 4-2 situation or something like that. And for the draft, there's no cap. So there is a minimum that you must pay of $10,000. So to draft a player, you have to pay $10,000. There is no maximum, and it's just a straight up bidding war. So it's similar to the draft last time. You could go. And you're drafting the draft slot. So you're bidding with someone to draft first,
I see.
Then whatever the player pool is. So you're not actually like bidding on a player per se, which you kind of are, but you are
on the slot.
The slot. So it's gonna be very interesting. I mean, do you go young, cheap talent and you know, pay the minimum for a couple roster spots at $10,000, or do you try to get one of these players that got dropped, or one of the players that the team did not want to keep at that particular salary? It'll be more veteran heavy, which are probably at this exact moment better than the up and comers. But of course, you can dream on the upside and the ability to get better from some of those cheap talent. So it's pretty dynamic, cool situation for the draft.
Yeah, that is super fun. Without you giving away too much in terms of your strategy. What do you think, without giving too much away, what do you think the best strategy is, Adam?
it's very dependent. Like, just as a, you know, if you're in a vacuum, you know, there, it's a different situation, but as a GM coach, I don't know exactly where the owner's head's at in terms of, do we want to just spend? What's my budget to work with? Some teams are not going to want to spend, and so of course they're going to go with cheaper talent or maybe an extra stale veteran for the minimum. And then there's going to be a handful of teams that just pop off and decide that their two or three keepers are good enough. They want to get that top couple person, like St. Louis Shock. I mean, they have to drop a stud, you know. Yeah, I mean, they have four legitimate players, just as an example. Yeah. So there is going to be talent on the player pool, and a team like the Shock, with whoever the three that they keep are fantastic, they want to get one of the top couple that's left over in the player pool, because you know they can't just be going for upside and for young talent. They need something now, because
they're when they're already so stacked. Yeah, they're already so stacked. Yeah, you exactly. Want to go big.
So for us, coming from Challenger, the SoCal Hard Eights, shout out, roll those dice, baby. We are able, if you're coming from Challenger, you don't have to pay that $10,000. So we will be able to retain Irina Tereshchenko and Eric Lane for $0. Yana Newell has to go because she was acquired midseason. And Max Purple Jesus Manthau is not under contract right now. So hopefully he can get signed. I have no idea if he's going to be able to do that in time. So if he doesn't, he's out and we will have four roster spots we need to fill. And if Max is able to work something out, then we will be able to keep him at $0 and then fill out our three slots for six. So
if let's say you lose PJ and you got to fill out four spots and you would have. So Lang's good to, is he signed?
No, he is available. He's good to go with his MLP contract. Right. So, So him and Irina are both good to go. They're available in the player pool. So, but I mean, we're in a, in an interesting situation because those are two full on veterans. I mean, that's north of 40 plus. Eric Lang and Irina Tereshchenko did a fantastic job of getting us into Premier. Do we stack veterans around them and go for it? Or do we go with young talent, hopefully strike gold, and possibly have and if we don't strike gold, possibly have a mentor situation for Eric and Irina? I have no idea. We're going to have to see what the player pool looks like. We're going to have a meeting of the minds with Tim Parks and Rick Chan and kind of figure out what path we want to go down.
So you have the – when is the drop deadline?
Let's see.
I guess how much time – I'm just curious on how much time you have between when the drops happen and then
– Okay. So you have a week. Confirmed draft dates and time. Premiere Sunday, March 2nd. So let's see my team schedule. Sorry. These are very long – list of rules.
I was just curious if you guys had a good amount of time in between.
Not a huge amount of time, no. Here's the player pool, and it's just the usual suspects, and of course some sprinkled in newbies. The player pool is a massive deal. The player pool is way chunkier than it was to basically double up the player pool for Premier, and then also have those six challenger teams competing. It's thin.
Challenger is still four players.
That's just how it goes. Challenger is still four players. That is correct. With six teams, also there was some news about how MLP would like to go to 24 teams for 2026, and so they're looking to add two teams. Yeah, it's 22 right now. With the 16 Premier, six Challenger, and they're looking to add two more for 2026 at approximately a $15 million valuation. So we just saw a team sold, the Arizona Drive. And I know the Proton owners were part of that group. I don't think they were solely the ones that bought it, but I do believe it went for over $10 million. And so it'll be interesting to see if they're able to get that expansion and get to 24.
Lightweight, breathable,
seamless.
Selkirk, Quirk Strike. And what I do like is the all one color and the black, because I like to wear the black socks, and then it kind of looks like my sock kind of like blends into my shoe, and you don't know where you don't know if I'm just wearing all socks or it, I just like the black. It's a nice style.
Yeah, it looks good. And
anyways, these are available.
Rob, 6 months sole guarantee too, which is super important for me because I'm an explosive athlete and a high-end mover with world-class foot speed and footwork. So sometimes I just blow through the soles. So to have that for 6 months is something that I need.
I'm just picturing you shuffling and dragging your feet all over the place. So you probably do go through soles pretty quickly.
I do. So I'm excited for it.
I don't think you're you're not a foot stepper. You're a foot dragger.
That's right. Big difference. So, and I'm not the only one. So I see a lot of these players. I like to tie my shoes really tight, and sometimes I get the loop of the tie and I slide on that and it rips, and I hate it when that happens. But also the edge and the toe seems to be my left big toe area. Just soul gone. So this is exciting.
And it's always interesting when you have some of the paddle manufacturers get into an ownership role, right? Like we saw with Pro XR. You know, you obviously want to have the brand be congruent and draft your own players, ideally, right? Because that's just better for the look of the team if you're, you know, if you're a Proton owner. So that does also affect kind of the, I think, the draft strategy and the player pool a little bit in terms of when you have ownership come in with you know, a vested interest in the paddle.
Agree completely. And I think that had something to do with the trade of Riley Newman for CJ Klinger going to the Columbus, Ohio team, the Columbus Sliders. Mm-hmm. That's CJ's stomping grounds. And I have no doubt that had something to do with that trade. No, so I agree completely. You get an extra little bonus if you get one of your guys or your gals. So it does affect quite a bit. So, and I know they're Arizona based. So it makes sense. I think it was Jake the Snake Plumber, the old quarterback.
Dude,
was involved.
I loved watching him when I was a kid.
Oh yeah.
He was so slippery, dude. He was always scrambling, getting into messes. He was like Johnny Manziel before Johnny Manziel.
Oh yeah. Oh, I just watched that 30 for 30 on Manziel. It's just so good. I mean, that guy.
It is.
He had a good 5
that
years.
That guy,
man.
He went really hard. He went really, really hard.
Yes, he did. So, just very dynamic situation with Major League Pickleball. And I think the longer it goes, the more it'll get a little settled. But it's still just rapidly evolving. I think I saw some article today about how they're really looking to hit profitability by the end of 2025. No idea if that can happen. I know a couple teams are already profitable. I don't know exactly how the numbers work there, but most are still dreaming on that break even or in the black situation. So it's just extremely dynamic, and you know, that's gives us plenty of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's what makes it fun. So the draft, March 2nd for Premier, what's the window for the season this year?
It's like April to August. So I can find it.
And that's only MLP? There's no tournaments?
I think there's two. I think there's two PPA tournaments kind of squeezed in. You also have that mid-season tournament in Grand Rapids. Shout out to Grand Rapids, Michigan, having a great fan base up there. So, but I really like that part of it. So PPA heavy, beginning of end of the year, summer months, there's going to be a lot of MLP, and there's like one or two PPA majors kind of mixed in. So I like the schedule. What do you think about what do you think about the rally scoring situation and the side out scoring?
I like going to side out, to be honest. I think, I tweeted this. You just lose important aspects of strategy, which I get. You can kind of try to differentiate it by being, you know, it's a different format. You want to have different scoring. I just think I'll be curious, right? Like, there's plenty of data now on rally versus side out. So, you know, and I'm sure people will be looking at what the data is after this upcoming season of side out scoring versus what it was in the past with rally. I just like side out scoring better. I think, you know, figuring out stacks, switches, it's all important and like really important parts of the game that I think you lose on rally. So, and I think the data says otherwise, but to me, it does feel like there's more variability and variance in results with rally.
Yeah, and I know like the timing of the games and everything. They had a pretty good sample size this past year. It's not much different. It's pretty close. So, I would say I like it too, but I wouldn't say that I have extremely strong feelings. It seemed like after the information came out, the internet trolls were hot and heavy on giving their opinions and just bashing things or saying they absolutely love it or whatever. So, so here we go. The keeper deadline is February 16th. And we already mentioned the draft. So you have to announce what your what squad you're holding onto on February 16th, and then that allows for a little bit of time for teams to manage what they want to do and what strategy they want to go after. So,
and then when is the actual bidding for the slots? Is that's the draft that's happening? Are you bidding ahead of time, and then that is the draft?
It's all happening live, and that is the draft. And then right now, of course, and so there's actually two trade windows too. So from basically right after they had that owners meeting in Dallas, I know some were virtual, but there was a lot of the team owners that actually went to Dallas and they had kind of a little workshop or whatever, 48 hours of chatting about stuff. So from when that happened through February 16th, that is a draft window. A trade window, excuse me. And then there will also be a trade window following the conclusion of the midseason tournament. So they're kind of tightening that up of when you are able to do trades. And I know that this we had a Vivian Glosman and Cash from the DC Pickleball team to the New York Hustlers for Jackie Kawamoto. That was there were some rumblings about some of these players that we're going to talk about in these trades kind of going, and then eventually it happened. And then we have Riley Newman and Cash for CJ Klinger. Man, what that one's wild to me. Just 2 years ago, just imagine saying that 2 years ago, Riley Newman and Cash for CJ Klinger. So that puts Riley Newman playing the right with Jack Sock, I would imagine. And then you have CJ Klinger and Jocelyn Duvillier for the Columbus Sliders. So yeah, I mean, I think that had a lot to do with the bus Columbus going for CJ Klinger, the hometown kid. I think probably level wise in this exact moment, they're pretty even. But of course there's a ton of upside in CJ given his age and just how gosh darn obsessed with the sport he is. Not that Riley Newman isn't, but Riley Newman does like to travel the world and
younger and hungrier. I mean, it's just facts.
Younger and hungrier. It's just facts. And then the women's trade. So that would put Vivian Glosman to the New York Hustlers too. And then that would put Jackie Kawamoto with Rachel Rohrabacher, Dekel Barr, and James Ignatowicz. Who knows who they might drop? I know James was probably the value he gave for what he cost. Didn't quite match up for that team. So we'll see exactly what they do there. But that's a quality team in Rohrabacher and Kawamoto. And then of course Glosman is the polar opposite of Jackie Kawamoto. I don't think the level is that different. I would give the edge to Jackie, but Glosman is up and down, like can play amazing, can play pretty poorly. Jackie Kawamoto is pretty dang stable in what she brings to the table.
Yeah, I mean, totally opposite players, but ceiling's higher with Viv, floor's lower with Viv.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think that's just a fact at this point. Glosman kind of holds her level, then, you know, I think it's probably, I don't know the exact amount of cash. I think it's probably a win for DC. If Glosman takes a leap, then, you know.
And that's what I would say is that Glos also has I think she still has the potential for making that leap. Whereas, I think there's still a lot of room to grow for her game. And I think Jackie, as good as she is, might be pretty close to hitting that
of course.
Ceiling.
I agree completely. I mean, Glosman is, I mean, from a like we pickleball said,
prototypical, yeah, it's what you
pickleball
want.
Pickleball perspective, she is a physical specimen, you know, like in terms of what she can bring with the length and the strength. So I think hers is more between the ears, a little bit, some decision making, maybe some confidence on believing that she can take that next step. And, you know, I haven't talked to her personally about that, but that's a bit of the vibe I get. And she puts it all together, you know, watch the heck out. So, Yeah, I don't know if there was – I don't know in terms of team dynamics. I'm not sure if there was some team dissension or there was some issues with the Hustlers and their connectivity. I have no idea. But sometimes, you know, when you're when you're trading two players, I think that, you know, that could have been a possibility. I'm not sure, because some of those things play in when you're, especially when you're, I mean, you're dealing with people, Rob. So who knows?
People will be people.
Yes, they will. They always will.
Unpredictable.
Where are you right now?
I just got to Mumbai. Bombay, baby.
South Bombay. Of course, of course.
Living that South Bombay life, brah.
Okay, I'm just scrolling through here. Yeah, that's the main information. That's the main information. So, what's your schedule looking like the next week or two or couple weeks?
So, just here a bit early, we start on, I believe it's February 3rd. And then, so February 3rd to 9th are the actual dates of the event. I believe afternoons will be the team format. The mornings will be mostly the individual tournament format. It's all going to be streamed on Fan Code, is what it's called. So every match will be streamed, which will be pretty cool. I don't know if you've seen much of the World Pickleball League, that stuff that's gone out like on social and stuff, but production wise and everything, they've done a really, really good job. Like the one that, like Sobexen and Tanner Tomasi and,
okay,
and that crew, they've like, production looks really good. And yeah, I was actually pretty impressed.
Yeah, no, I the thing I remember from social media for that previous tournament in India was the smoke in the walkout situation.
Looked pretty That's legit. Right.
So
yeah.
There was a decent bit of that at the Fountain Blue when we were in Vegas. I guess they had some mm-hmm. in-house lights and like smoke machine or something. Yeah. Yeah, some pyrotechnics. I mean, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. It's kind of funny.
Fog machine and some pyrotechnics go a long way at them.
That's right. That's right. So, okay, that's good. No, that sounds good. And you're doing the one that my boy Colin Schick is doing too, right?
Yeah.
Colin. That's the one you're talking about. Yeah, I've been chatting with him. Yeah. We're going to try to start hitting. He's back in my neck of the woods going to school. So I'm excited to add another good player to the group. It looks like that Corinne and myself are going to be jumping in the North Carolina PPA qualifying. Robert. So,
that's we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
When is that?
Unfortunately, Glosman is not signed, so we could play Riley Newman and Vivian Glosman first round. Let's hope that doesn't happen.
First round of qualies. Let's go. Yeah,
it's at the beginning of April. Got a little time. Corinne's played twice in the last year. So she's going to have to
play. She's fine. She's fine.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's go with that.
You're like, oh, okay.
All right. Let's go.
But that's
with that.
That's actually that's got to be interesting for Glaz getting partners, though, right? Because nobody wants to go into qualies.
Yeah. No, I think it is a factor. You got to get there. You got to get there earlier. You have the no win situation of possibly losing. I mean, the qualifiers are good now. And there's good players. Like you show up
no
and you're a little annoyed that you're playing qualifying as, you know, a more established player, and you take an L.
Yep.
So that it is a factor. It absolutely is a factor. No idea what her contract situation will be moving forward, but right now she's in qualies.
Yeah.
Regardless,
because that's a big deal on the MLP side too, right? For the trade we saw, I mean, if she is not signed, she cannot play, right?
I guess that is correct. Yeah, I didn't even really think about that from the MLP side. So, I mean, you have to imagine that, you know, teams aren't doing this or people aren't doing this without some insider info or possibly getting a deal done. So. Also one other thing just scrolling through here is, last year, the MLP midseason tournament was just cash. It was just prize money. This time there will be regular season points on the line. And, it will mean something. So it'll be standalone and it will be factored in to the point system, which will be the same. 3 points regulation win, 2 points dream breaker win, 1 point dream breaker loss, 0 points for a regulation loss. So.
I think that's good. I think you want to have good performances be rewarded in a midseason event like that.
I agree. So,
yeah.
Also, any thoughts from you, Rob, on going to six players and how that could affect things? Do you like it? Do you not like it? Tell me.
I like it. I never liked the idea of, I think it's a step closer to having like a real team, right? Where you actually do have people on the bench, which is very normal. Like you don't have all starters on a team. So I like the fact that, you know, you're going to have six players, you're going to have players that can get better in practice, that you could actually focus on developing them. You can, you know, spend the league minimum and see somebody that has upside and really get them good exposure to better play, better practice. So that development route, I think is pretty cool. Depending on if, you know, if it goes, that if it, if there's a focus there, there might not be a focus there. It might just be like, we want somebody that's really good at mix. This person's better at men's or women's. But I think it just adds, again, more options and more storylines and more variables for us to talk about. And also just to kind of change the strategy a little bit in terms of like creating best matchups on a match to match basis versus like a lineup you might put out against one team could be completely different against another team based on pure matchups. So I like the fact that there's that aspect of, you know, building a lineup and building a team based on certain strengths and certain weaknesses. So I like it. And I never liked having the alternate player pool where you can just pull somebody because there's no continuity there. You know, one person could be playing for this team and then they could be playing for the other team in the next event. So it never made a lot of sense. So I think having subs and backups and alternates on your own team is definitely the way to go. I just hope that there's enough depth with 96 players to make it solid.
Yeah, I agree. No, that's well said. I know there was even some lending of players between Challenger and Premier, which was a bit confusing. Yeah, I mean there's a lot of different ways that you can go, and I think having the six players also gives some of those single specialists an opportunity. You know, it's like the guy or the girl is already legitimate at singles. They're young and hungry, like we talked about. So you can have them on your roster and possibly not even play that player in doubles for a period of time and groom them and have them grow as a doubles player, but they're already adding some value for a dream breaker. So you could even have say you have three girls on the team. You have a hyper aggressive drive and crash player. You have a patient soft player, and then you have a player that can do both. And you can mix the matchups like you were talking about. Mm-hmm. So you have a team that you want to play more soft against. You put that gender matchup. You have a team that you want to just take it to them because they're susceptible to power. Then you put the power team up. So, I mean, this is just very generalized strategy here. But there's at least some different ways for you to go having that roster flexibility.
No, 100%. And you can even, break it down a lot of ways, but it almost makes the aspect of being a jack of all trades, being able to play the right, play the left, in my opinion, a little less valuable because now you can truly get like a right side guy. Right. You can get a true, you know, you can get two true left side guys. And I don't know. I just feel like now it does lend itself to specialization a little bit more.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, it's never all perfect, so we'll see where it all settles, but it's just nice to have more flexibility, whether it kind of nerfs a skill set or it kind of enhances a skill set. That was my young person video game nerfing. I heard that's what they do, so I threw it in there because I'm hip with the times, you know.
The football, literally.
But that's what it is. So it like softens something. So if you nerf it, you bring it down a little bit.
Interesting.
Rob, I also have in my notes here Adidas making a pretty big splash. Last time I checked, that's a pretty big company, and they signed right now the best pickleball player in the world from a rankings perspective, Federico Stackshrud. Yeah. I just saw that they signed Mari Humberg, and they also have always had the juggernaut that is Rafa Hewitt on their slate. So thoughts about that big company coming in, and also seems like they're going with some international flavor. I would imagine they've done their due diligence and are doing what they're doing for a reason. So that's kind of exciting.
Super exciting. More money, more, you know, Adidas putting money into the sport's a big deal. They're, especially if the paddles, you know, get a bit better. I guess they don't even need to be good to sell to amateurs. You know, the mass market, really, they don't, because Adidas will sell itself because of the brand name. You know, you put Adidas in a Walmart, it'll sell. I think it's great. I think it's great for Fed. I think it's great for Mari. I will be curious to see on, well, let's just be just absolutely honest, like the whatever Adidas is coming out with that paddle, it won't be as good as what Fed is playing with. Just, it won't be. So I will be curious to see kind of some of the early season results and see if it affects the singles, affects his game. I'm sure he's getting a lot of work in with it. So there might be a very slight drop, if anything, but will be interesting.
Yeah, no, I mean, I love Fed. I think he's just unbelievably well-rounded. But yeah, if there was a knock on him for a period of time, it was that he lacked a bit of extra power that some of the other top guys have. And then all of a sudden that was kind of fixed over the course of a year or 18 months. Yeah. And is that his grinding off court? Is that his being in the gym? Is that his paddle, a combination of both? Who knows exactly? But
we'll find out soon. We'll find out really soon.
All of a sudden it wasn't an issue and he's just putting the ball away and just hitting BB passes left and right, which he was already kind of doing that, but he wasn't doing it at
a couple more MPHs matters a lot.
Yes. Yeah, it really does. And also, you know, not on the actually, I don't really know, but not quite on the same level of Adidas, but Lotto, Lotto went international too. They got Big D Dekelbar with the clothing and Pablo Tejas with everything. So when companies like that are making investments and they're going the international route, I mean, in me being a simpleton, that seems good.
Yeah. And it also probably signifies that they see the growth happening internationally as well. And now it makes sense to really get into it because it's more than just a kind of a fad US sport.
Yeah, no, it's fantastic. So this weekend, Rob, we have the fun 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern Australian Open going on. A handful of standard UPA players that are in that, but it is very Australian heavy. And I'm excited to see maybe, you know, some teams not knocking off a team like Tyson McGuffin and Gabe Tardio, but what kind of score lines we have, if there is some upsets, if some of these foreign players are moving through the draw. But I also noticed, not that there's none, but I didn't see a lot of Asian players in the draw. Do you think there's a reason for that? Or, you know, Australia, last time I checked, much closer than the States. I was thinking maybe some of those up and coming, whatever, Indian, Chinese type players were gonna jump into that one.
Yeah, I think probably a lot are in India for these events. Might have something to do with it. But I would imagine that's the only reason, is competing events. Uh-oh, Asian time.
Oh, no. Mom started walking upstairs. What a disaster. Mom, get it together. Get it together. AJ and Mom are not feeling the best.
Not feeling it.
So we'll see if he has if he's got a snot nose or anything like that. Come on over here, buddy. You got 10 seconds of fame here on the camera.
It's time.
Bring it in, buddy. Oh my gosh, you do have a little snotty nose.
Dude.
Look at that guy. Look at that guy.
God, immediate smile. God. Adorable. And he's always dressed to the nines. He looks sharp.
Oh yeah, he's doing it. AJ, You got 5 seconds.
Do we ever do anything? Cool. Dude, his hair's so white. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. It really is. I actually gave him a... Well, Corinne was giving him a haircut. Nice run, buddy. She was struggling. She was struggling, so I jumped in, and I was kind of close to the ear, so I overcorrected. And he got a little bit of a butcher job. You know, I guess that's part of the deal.
You just throw some gel in there. Make it messy. It looks great.
Little product, right?
Yeah. A little matte product, you know?
Yeah. Let's see here. That's my notes. You have anything else you would like to talk about, Rob? I know I probably missed half of the things, but those were my main bullet points, what we already touched on.
No. Those were important to cover, and a lot of it I didn't know with MLP, so I'm excited. I'm actually like, it'll be really fun to see who the drops are, who the player pool is, and see like what teams like want to be spendy and see what teams want to be conservative and build. So I think that, yeah, there's a lot of really cool storylines in terms of what teams will do. So yeah, that's exciting. We can give an update next week on what's been happening in India. I can do a little recap of the World Pickleball League that's just happening now, and then also a little preview of the global stuff that's coming up that I'm going to be a part of. So I think, yeah, good stuff. I know Josh might be out next week because his lovely wife is due today.
Woo!
So big babies. Congrats there. On the way. So yeah, shout out to Josh. And mm-hmm. No, that's all I got. We can run this back at another date.
All right, perfect. Sounds good. And I will, yeah, I'll make sure I stay on the horn with some of the MLP comings and goings. Should be a spicy next few weeks. So
maybe we'll do some tweeting, Adam, on the Australian PPA.
Deep in the Twitter streets with Rob Nunnery?
Mate, let's do it, Adam. You and I. And don't ever add a profile photo because that would just ruin your whole account.
No, I don't do that. No. Stonewall 321 does not do that.
All right. Well, until next time.
Later, bud.